tonight, 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to read from just verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he, you hear this? That he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety, the old English said, all your cares on him, because he cares for you. Then he says, be self-controlled, be alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. We sang it a moment ago. God cares for you. He cares for you. January, you know, gets its name from Janus, one of the Roman gods worshipped by the Roman Empire. And he was depicted with two faces. One is peering back into the past, and the other is looking into the future. And Janus, the god, has a staff in his hand, and then he has keys in the other. And the suggestion from those Roman times was this, that he was closing one thing and beginning another. So here we are, right on the beginning of January. And what did I hear in the scriptures? His mercies, God's mercies, says the psalmist, are new every morning. We've got a closure and we've got a new beginning. Whatever 21 did to us, was for us, it's a closure. And here we are, standing on the threshold of the year 2022. Do you know why you can start afresh? Because God is the God of second chances, of fresh starts, of new purposes. He's the God who restores and then rebuilds. He's the God who heals and then he helps. He is the God who reconciles and redeems. One and the way. Same time. He's the God who loves us and then lifts us. He supplies strength to those who are weary, says the scripture. He sympathizes with those who are hurting. He gives purpose when everything else seems aimless. He brings light into the darkness. He brings life to the lifeless. That is the God we are talking about for new beginnings. I'd like you to do something today, to take 5 or 10 minutes on your own and sit down and write on a pad if need be some of the things that God did for you, some of the things that he's done for you in your yesterday. And then take this text and face tomorrow morning with whatever is to come. So here we are. God cares for you. Let me tell you a true story about a young boy who had to walk past what everybody said was a haunted house. A friend gave him a good luck charm but it didn't give him any courage. And an adult told him, "You're being foolish, even sinful, to be afraid like that. You must trust God, you must be brave." But he was still afraid. And then somebody else said this to him, "I know what it is to be afraid. I'll walk with you past the house. I'll walk with you." And that was all the boy needed. They did a number of times, took away all his fears. I don't know whether the pandemic and the 2 years we've had, make you feel on your own. Do you question your ability to cope with all the things that are happening around the world and around you and the future that's ahead of you? Then this simple but very specific word of scripture is just for you. He cares for you. He'll walk beside you. He'll walk with you. But let me help you understand it a little more, because this is a reminder. I want to tell you four things, make four statements. Why is this a reminder? When? How? Think it through with me. Grasp this first thing. Trouble is universal. No matter where you go, there's always going to be trouble. To our dismay, to our consternation, the pandemic has made that very, very clear. And our trials, our difficulties, know no boundaries, no limits. There are no class distinctions here. There are no racial preferences on this. All men go through experiences which make them anxious. We will experience things, cares, that make this hurt. You'll have heartaches. I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. You can put on a brave face. You can pretend that everything is okay. But beneath the exterior, you know, on the inside, there's a struggle. We suffer sometimes because of the things we have done. We've been stupid. I put my hand up. If you've never been stupid, well, you're an exception to the rule. We do things and we have consequences. And they hurt. And they hurt others sometimes too. And we have things happen to us. We have no control. And that's what the pandemic has visibly demonstrated. That's why it's caused us so much distress. I checked this week, why couldn't we have the communion as we always know it? Do you know what they told me? You're not going to believe this, but this is the rule from the government. I can give you the bread, but I can't give you the wine. Who makes a rule like that? But that's what we have to obey. It's part of this universal trouble that's all around us. Never forget, the Christians are struggling and suffering for, Bible calls it, persecution for righteousness' sake. Let me tell you about Pastor Keshep. We've been involved in Nepal all these years. He's been sentenced to 2 years in prison, fined 20,000 rupees. Do you know what for? For arranging religious feelings and proselytizing. A man came to his house to ask for prayer. He prayed with the man, and the man went out, and four police officers came and said, "He's in prison. If you went with me to Nigeria, this is his last week. The northern Zamfara state, the Islamist militants have issued an ultimatum to every one of our churches. Close down, stop meeting for worship, or we attack you. 267 believers have been killed in the last 4 months. You want to know about trouble? It's universal. In Myanmar, where we built a house for the children with some of our funds a couple of years ago, there are 18 doctors who have been seized by the militia. Do you know what it was for? Because in one of our churches, 48 patients were being cared for, some with the COVID, they have no hospitals and so on. And because they're Christian doctors, they are not entitled to treat. Do you want to know about the German pastor who this last week has been put on probation and fined? Do you know what his crime was? He sheltered an Iranian refugee in his church. And the authorities, I could go on. I have a weekly list whereby I go through for this. Hear me? Trouble is universal. I haven't talked about the teenage suicides. As never before. I haven't talked about the drug addicts that you can see around here. All the divorces, all the widows or widowers, all the juvenile delinquents, all the cancer victims, all the lonely people, so many in an overpopulated world that, do you know what we do? We drive down crowded streets. We ride on crowded buses or trains. We shop in superstores and we walk in crowded places, and the dying are dying in crowded hospitals because the NHS says it can't cope. Trouble is universal. And we're lonely. And the future is uncertain. That's my second point. For some, the sickness they struggle with is prolonged. Others are discovering that the bank balance and the purse is lighter because the job situation has changed. And the future, as I see it and many see it, is like a quagmire into which we seem to be sinking deeper and deeper. What is on the horizon? Who knows? No wonder we become anxious. No wonder we experience stress and strain. No wonder does it become unbearable. But we struggle on. Why do we struggle on? Well, trouble's universal, the future's uncertain, but the struggle is unavoidable. It's like a vicious whirlpool that sucks us into its center in this maddening world of frustration and failure and fears. And we try so hard to change things. We try to cope and we try to face what's coming. But you get exhausted and you ask, what can I do next? Listen to me. Trouble is universal. It's everywhere. Future is uncertain. The struggle is unavoidable, but God is understandable. God, knowing God cares for you, is what will make your life worth living, regardless of any of the circumstances you are encountering. And when the challenges have been so great, and the burdens we carry have been so heavy, and the pressure has been so intense, and the pace of life has been so hectic and so confusing, do you know what? God's been right there. I recall the intriguing response when Paul and Silas were thrown into the inner prison. Feet in stocks, it's stinking dirty, it's rat infested, it's impossible. Why are they there? Because they had preached the gospel. And about midnight, while Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, it's Acts 16, you want to read it? Did God take care of them? as they praised the Lord. Do you know what happened? An earthquake, because that's the only way you can explain it. An earthquake collapsed the prison around them. And the jailer is converted, and Paul and Silas are set free. You understand? God cares. God is understandable. When it's dark outside, as I approach my house, I've got a sensor light. And it, poof, I don't have to say anything to it. It comes on. And then when I go into my house, I switch on, turn on the light. And as life gets so complicated by these problems and pressures, they seem to have come to stay. I want to tell you, turn the light on. Here's the switch. God cares for you. That's the switch. Turn the light on the issue of where you are. In the pitch black darkness of the night, and when sleep won't come with its healing balm, you say, God cares for me. When those bitter, biting winds of sickness and sorrow blow remorselessly, you say, God cares for me. Switch the light on. Because God is good, and his grace is sufficient. Because God is for us and not against us. Because the strategy of the promise is that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So you have to get the switch. God cares for you. There is no way myself or any other theologian or preacher could ever find a way of measuring the limitless love of God. All I know is there is no barrier that can hinder him pouring out his blessings. Would you do something else for me today? You can even do it now. Would you look around and see if you can find five things that are blue? You know that? Find five things that are blue. This is what I used to do with my students in the psychology class, but don't worry about that. Do you know what that will give you? Is a blue mindset. Psychologically, you will now have a blue mindset. And everything blue you see for a while will jump out at you. It's strange, but it's true. And here's another one. If you buy a new car, and you've had this particular make and model, drive it for 5 miles, and you will be amazed how many cars like your car there are on the road. It's the mindset. It's the mindset. You see? If God seems absent, if God's been distant, he hasn't disappeared. He hasn't disappeared. You have got to have this God mindset. And here is how it starts. God cares for you. And if you keep telling yourself that every morning this week and on in, it'll have a mindset. Just like the car, just like the color blue, or whatever you want to do. George Matheson was told that, he's that wonderful hymn writer, "Oh Love That Will Not Let Me Go." He was 15 when they told him he was losing his sight. He was determined. He wanted to study for the ministry. So he enrolled at the University of Glasgow. And before his studies were completed, he had gone blind. He had two sisters. They were remarkable. To help him with their learning, they learned Greek and Hebrew. One learned Greek, one learned Hebrew. So they could help him with his studies. Now, what happened to George Matheson was this. He finished. He had the church there to go to, and he was a huge pastor and success there. His fiancée broke their engagement. Said she couldn't marry a blind man. She refused, and she returned his ring. Years later, his sister, the one of the two that had helped him, comes to him to announce her engagement. It took him back to his own heartache. He backed his sister, but that's the moment when he wrote this, "O love, that wilt not let me go. I rest my weary soul in thee. Listen, I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be." He discovered he cares for you. If you read today's message of 1 Thessalonians 5:24, it goes like this. The one who called you is completely dependable. And this is what I can't get out of my head with the translation. If he said it, he'll do it. I've written it down. I remind myself again and again. If he said it, he'll do it. No matter what we are going through, we can count on him to be with us. And when he's with you, you can be sure he will bring you safely through. No matter what lies ahead, God will be with you every day, every moment, every situation, for one reason only, because he cares for you. That's the reminder. Now, here's the request. Because of that, cast all your cares on him. It is a most remarkable privilege to come to God in prayer in the name of Jesus. You don't have to go through a priest. You don't have to go through a pastor. You don't have to be in a church building. You don't have to give us a donation. You don't have to use correct grammatic form, shape, or whatever you want to talk it. We don't do a security check to see if you're okay to do this. You just talk to God in Jesus' name and you cast all your care on him. So this is advice to follow. Peter, as he wrote this letter, has warned them about tough times, about greater hardships that were coming their way. And he says, it probably means you'll be anxious, you'll be troubled, you're burdened. He said, well, that's the moment. Cast all your cares on him. I remember the invitations that Jesus has given. Come to me. What will I do? Come to me and I will give you rest. If you're burdened, if you're troubled, if you've got cares, come to me and I'll give you rest. If you're thirsty, come and drink. When you're thirsty, come and drink. Come in prayer. Come in private. Come in public. Do it here when you get here in the building, whenever we meet. And cast all your care, all care of yourself, place it on him. Because if you'd follow that advice, you will abound in faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith. I will trust and not be afraid. And I have to recognize and I have to believe that he's there for me. I know he's there for us. But I have to, every moment of my day, appreciate he's there for me. That will not be a detriment to you. He's there for you. There for me. He knows me. He cares for me. And there are many forces that I cannot see, but I know they're there. Why have we got light there? Because we have electricity pulsing from that switch in the corner. You can't see a cable. You can't see the electricity move. But you see the light. You see the light? Are you warm enough? You're feeling it in the heat. Because there are electric heaters in this room. Did you get here by car? You rated the power of your vehicle. And we use electricity to rate the power of a machine. I don't want you to miss this. That's how it is with God. That's how it is with God. And what's the result? Well, I think there are two things. There's a sense of serenity. It calms my mind. I listened this morning to an Islam imam giving the talk on Essex Radio at 7:45 as to how he's managed the pandemic. And he said you had to start with your mind. He's a Muslim. But start with your mind, because that's where the thoughts come, and that's where the fears come. And God calms your mind, your emotions, and your spirit. He'll give you a peace that floods and takes you through the trials that are still to come. One of the lovely hymns that I like is this one. Drop thy still dews of quietness till all my striving cease, and take from my soul the strain and stress, and may our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace. But I want more than serenity. I want security. I want to realize that he is working out his purposes for my life. Ruling, and then at times overruling. Bringing to fruition that which he has determined. I watched the programs on the RNLI, Rescue at Sea. I don't know whether you saw the one where the three surfboarders were marooned on rocks on an island and rescued the next morning. Did you see the one where the boy with the family boat that was upturned and the boy was washed up onto the rocks? He had the life jacket on and all that and so on. And he was there all night. And then they spotted him with the helicopter and they rescued him. And somebody was dumb enough to ask him this question. Were you afraid? Were you trembling while you're there on the rock through the night? He said, yes, I trembled all night, but the rock didn't. Jesus is my rock. He's your rock. If you tremble, I want to assure you the rock is not going to shake. You are secure. God cares for you.